Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fervently Speaking, a fun and fur-filled hour devoted to the care and well-being of our four-legged friends, with your host, pet lifestyle and industry expert and media personality, top dog, Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, Eileen sniffs out and shares information about products, services, activities, and news that improves the quality of life for pets and the people who love them, all in an inimitably entertaining style. The top dog's pedigree includes pioneering the Phoenix, Arizona dog daycare industry and her heartfelt involvement and support of animal welfare organizations across the United States. Her rally cry, "Adoption is the best option," has also earned her the well-deserved title, the voice of pet rescue. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the top dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking, and your host, top dog, Eileen Proctor.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful... I'm so glad to be with you again this hump day. That's Wednesday, the best day of the week. It's when we share all sorts of great information with you about how to have the best possible quality of life with your four-legged friends on Fervently Speaking. Very proud to be part of Blog Talk Radio's Boomer and the Babe station. And this week, we're going to talk with some very interesting and inspiring people who, quite frankly, whose lives have gone to the dogs and the cats and the critters and you name it. It's people who have had life-changing experiences in their career as they pursue their passions in the pet world. And I know that this is an extremely interesting topic to a lot of people that are listening because everybody seems to want to sink their teeth $50 billion a year U.S. pet industry that you've heard tell about, products, services, you name it. People are just crazy about their pets. And I knew from early on in my life that I loved animals more than anything, and especially dogs, I have to admit it. I preferred, as the gifts for my birthdays and for the holidays, to get stuffed Bow Wows in deference to those plastic Barbies. And I preferred always to get the tail waggers instead of Tetris, Ms. Pac-Man, and Donkey Kong games. Quite frankly, and we're friends, so I can tell you this, I knew rather early in my life that I'd rather kiss a dog in the mouth than a boss on the butt. And I knew that I was going to be what I have coined the term, a petpreneur, throughout the course of my life. It took me a while to find what I really wanted to do. I mean, early in my life, I made quite a few attempts to get into the world of dog. I tried being a dog groomer. Yes, I did. It was a lot of fun giving doggies baths and brushing them out, but I found out pretty early in my dog groomer career that a life of expressing anal glands was just not in the cards for me. So I shifted and I went over to try to be a dog trainer, you know, because I figured, wow, that would just be so cool. Not that I could get my own dogs to do what I wanted them to do, but, you know, to help other people be able to train their dogs and get them to sit, stay, come on command. Well, dogs soon found that they could wrap me around their paws, and I did not really make it as a dog trainer. I tried lots of different things until I heard about this thing called doggy daycare. I heard about it in a few different ways all at around the same time. I heard a news episode on TV from CNN about a doggy daycare in Portland. And then a friend of mine in Florida sent me an article that they had in their local paper. And finally, I knew that God was trying to talk to me and tell me to really begin in earnest my career as a petpreneur. When I saw at the dentist's office an article in People magazine, it was multi-pages, the most adorable pictures ever. It was about a doggy daycare in Boston called The Common Dog, where they actually use school buses to pick up dogs from their ever-loving parents on corners, bring them to a daycare setting and drop them off at the end of the day on those corners, parents in tow waiting to hear all about their dog's fun days. I knew then Phoenix, which is where I was living, was the sixth largest city in the United States. I knew that we needed this type of a service. I went on what I call a puppy pilgrimage. That's doing research and development in the pet field. And I really thought that I could do this deal. I was convinced of it when I was leaving San Jose on my research tour. And I looked up at a street sign because I'd gotten lost. And the name of the street was Ruff, R-U-F-F. Believe it or not, that was the name of the street. And just at the time I looked up and I saw that street sign that said Ruff, the light turned from red to green, and I thought, yep, another sign from the up above. It is time for me to start my doggy daycares, and I did. I pioneered the doggy daycare industry in Phoenix, Arizona with It's a Ruff Life, escaping the boredom of the boardroom within corporate America in favor of biscuits, balls, and belly rubs. And became Aunt Eileen to thousands of canine kids and friends and confidant to their parents. Grew it to multiple locations. And then in the year 2007, I sold It's a Ruff Life, but realized that my love affair with the pet industry, parents, and pets in general, it couldn't stop there. So since then, it's just been a step-by-step process. I've emerged as nationally known pet lifestyle and industry expert, and acquired a pedigree that's probably as long as a Great Dane's tail. I work with consumers, such as a lot of you listening here, to connect them with products and services activities through Fervently Speaking. And I work with those petpreneurs that I've been telling you about through my training company that is committed to those types of businesses called Top Dog Business Boosters. And, of course, I work with animal welfare organizations, both locally within Phoenix, Arizona, as well as nationally. And that is through Top Dog to the Rescue. So that's how I've surrounded myself in the business of pets and how my life went to the dogs. But I'm going to introduce you to a bunch of people, three very interesting people who have done the same thing. They've transferred their passions, their skills, and their careers into the world of pets. And we're going to start that off with my very first guest, who, after 26 years in the broadcast industry, she was a senior account executive. Barry Mears' lives totally went to the dogs, and every other type of species for that matter. She replaced her corporate duties with animal-related issues, and she founded and now is the president over an organization called the Phoenix Animal Care Coalition, or PAC911. So she had a dream of having a united pet community where animal organizations work together in harmony for the good of the animals, and it has come to fruition in spades. Barry Mears is the author of a number of different books, including the Bon Appetit Cookbook, Love Stories of Pets and Their People, the Simply Delicious Cookbook, and Ode to Those Who Stand on Four, which is written entirely in prose. Every one of these books were written and published to help raise money and awareness for homeless animals, and 1% of it to her cause. Barry speaks on behalf of animals to various groups statewide, and I'm nationwide because she's with us today. I'd like to introduce you all to Barry Mears. Barry, welcome to Fervently Speaking.
Well, thank you, Eileen. It's just my pleasure to be here, and so much fun to listen to all of the intro about yourself, because I've known you for a long time, but that was very informative.
Well, there you go. I hope everybody listening thought so as well. Tell us a little bit about your transition. First of all, I want to clear this. We're on the Boomer and the Babe Network, and I just want to make sure, do you fit the profile of Boomer? Are you old enough to be a Boomer, Barry?
I am old enough to be a Boomer, and that's all we need to say.
That's all I was asking. You never ask a lady her age. Way over the top. I mean, I'm close to 400 in dog years. So,
oh my gosh, I haven't figured mine, but I don't think I want to. I think part of what we do helps to keep us young and keeps our tails wagging because we're so busy.
Absolutely, and have a great time. Tell us a little bit about your career. I alluded to it, but tell us a little bit about your career before it went to the dogs.
Well, I was in radio for 10 years and television for 16 years. And what my primary jobs in both situations were account executive. However, depending on what station I worked for, account executive often gets you involved in every aspect of the broadcast industry. So I became a writer. I became I would voice over the commercials. I would do infomercials if need be. Whatever the job involved, I was willing to do it to make the sale, to get my customers on the air. So
gotcha.
That's what
gotcha.
Happened. Yeah. And during my years at the television station, and that was 16 years long, during that period of time, I got involved in rescuing animals simply by picking up the strays that I realized were not heading home when they looked hot and thirsty on the street and crossing in front of traffic. So I was one of the crazy people stopping cars on highways and stopping cars, which I don't really recommend because it's life-threatening. But I didn't care. I was so upset to see a poor animal in danger and somehow survived all of that, started rescuing simply by bringing home strays and then having to place them, and that involved forming networks. And networks led me to different rescue groups. And different rescue groups wanted me on their board because of my media involvement, of course. So I sat on a few boards. And what I learned was that there were a lot of little organizations out there trying to help the poor animals who needed so much help. Some were lost legitimately, others were thrown away and abandoned, and nobody was looking for them. And learning all that I did as time went by broke my heart, but I also realized that the way things were structured, it wasn't working. There were all these little groups. They hated each other. They wouldn't help each other. Nobody reached out to the other to say, let's work together. Maybe this would be better. And as a result, they got very little media attention because each group was so small. They got very little money because people didn't know about them. And it dawned on me that somebody needed to create an environment to make them work together. And there's an old saying, if not us, then who?
So right, exactly.
It was me.
Yep.
It was me. I had the skills. I had the contacts. And the desire was born, and so that's what I did, and I formed PAC 911. Initially, we had a different name, but I won't even go into that because we've been PAC for so long. And PAC stood for Phoenix Animal Care Coalition. And initially, back in 1999, when PAC was born, we solicited groups to become partners with us and work together. And our first job or mission was to put on big adoption events to get the poor animals seen by the public and publicize these events. And the first year, if I had 12 groups sitting side by side in their little tents at an adoption event, I thought I had just really made this happen. And I thought this was fabulous. And here we are now in 2011. With 100 groups sitting side by side at our adoption event, and some of them doing so well that we send home well over 200 animals in one day. Other events are smaller, but we're happy with every animal that finds a home at our events. So the idea caught on. Took time, it took patience, and now it's a privilege and an honor to be part of PAC 911, and we actually have a waiting list for groups and rescues to join us and be part of what we do.
Right, and the interesting word that you said, partners, because they're not members, they're partners, and it's really incumbent upon them, from what I understand, to help not just their own group succeed, but to help the other partners as well as the overall umbrella organization succeed. So I think that was pretty brilliant. You're calling them part. They had an ownership stake and really understood their true role in this. Tell us what type of partner groups they have. What type of animals are covered through PAC 911?
We really have pretty much, well, I can't say everything. We have, of course, dogs and cats, who are the most popular companion animals, and we have the bunnies, and we have the little critters, as I refer to them. There are several groups that do little rat rescue and guinea pig rescue and ferret rescue, and then we opened our arms out to extend our arms to the horse rescue. So we've got the big critters and the little critters. What we do not have, and we simply don't have room for more at this point, we haven't had any bird rescues, and we don't do reptiles.
Right.
But pretty much anything else.
There's only just so many types of there's an old expression, if you give people too much of a choice, they wind up making none. And so I think that with I've been to some of these events. They are extremely well run. You've got it very well organized. People know what to expect, and people actually seek out these adoption events. And I believe that the reason they're so popular is some people are hesitant to go to the shelters, go to the what they call the pound, or you know, even humane societies, because they don't want to see dogs behind bars. So what you've created through these allows people to see them in a very open and free real life environment, so people can actually feel themselves walking them in the grass or down a road. So great job on that, Barry. I really
Thank
have
you.
To applaud you. Now, this is an all-volunteer organization, so let's talk about the whole concept of volunteerism, because you did change your career, but when you the broadcast industry, obviously that nice paycheck that you were used to earning, it went south, I would imagine. So let's talk about volunteerism and how it is you were able to and what you recommend for other people as it relates to getting involved in this type of work.
Well, I don't want to scare anybody away, but yes, I went from making a lot of money to making no money, and fortunately I was able to do that because I had made a lot of money, and I also had a husband still making some money. So I had the luxury when I made the change of being able to do that. Not a lot of people have that luxury, and especially in this day and age, because when we talk back in 1999 and the early 2000s, things were not nearly as devastating as they are today economically.
Sure.
For people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to turn people off. There are ways, I'm sure, to structure something and take a salary if they need to, but perhaps not right away. I certainly didn't. And, in fact, quite the opposite. Not only didn't I take a salary back then, but I kept pumping my own money into anything that needed money. But PAC eventually started, because I do a lot of fundraising, we started raising a lot of money, so that PAC now is very, very self-sustaining. And people are very sensitive and very, very happy to help the animals. I think there are many people, I know myself, I would, and I do, I help the animals before I help anyone else, because I
yep.
feel there's a small circle of us. Helping humans, helping children is universal, and, you know, the majority of people donate to that. So I feel those who have the calling for the animals should give it there first, because
right.
there aren't as many of us as there are donating to other causes. And I'm not belittling
right.
any other cause, because every cause and need is certainly legitimate. But the poor animals have been at the bottom of the ladder, and they need those of us who care about them to put our money where our
yeah.
heart is.
Our money and our time, and I want to talk about that whole thing, because you don't need to have a lot of money to make a difference in the lives of animal welfare organizations. And first of all, you don't have to quit your job to do this 100%
exactly.
of the time. This could be a part-time situation. So could you give us the top three ways that you think that anybody listening would be able to join you in the concept of having their lives go to the dogs through animal welfare and be of help without actually having to close out their 401ks?
Oh, exactly. And that's exactly the way it is. And that was my first statement. I don't want to scare anybody because you asked me a direct question about myself. But that doesn't have to be the way people jump into this, because any talent that people have can be utilized to help the animals. Are you a graphic artist? You can help make flyers. Can you write? You can write bios of the animals and help them get put online for any organization. Do you just have some spare time that you can, you know, go to one of the local shelters and or one of the local rescue groups and help out several hours a week, changing the food out, cleaning kennels, or walking dogs? I mean, there's a million ways to help. And fostering is certainly important. Many of the rescue groups do not have shelters, and they count on the public to foster some of the animals they want to save. If they cannot find a foster home, often that poor animal doesn't get saved, even though the desire is there, but there's simply no place to put that animal. So the public can be foster parents. That's an easy way to help and such an important part of animal rescue. And so gratifying. Many people fail fostering. They take in an animal as a foster and then end up adopting, and that's fine, but being a good foster and being able to help that animal transition to a forever home is wonderful, because then you can save many more.
Absolutely. Barry Mears, the founder and president of PAC911, whose mission is to provide education, fundraising, outreach and education to the community to let them know when they should and shouldn't, or how they can find that perfect pet, and also has created a very unique resource to the pet welfare community called the Emergency Medical Fund. We're running out of time, but I know that people will be interested in hearing more. What's the best way for our listeners to get information about PAC911?
Well, please go to our website, PACC911.org. That's P as in Peter, A as in Apple, C as in Cat, 911.org. We just came off a big project. It's another cookbook, and our webmaster is a little behind on the website because she was doing our graphics for the cookbook. So it's in the process of getting updated again, but visit our website. There's a lot of information on there, and I think anyone wanting to jump into helping with the animals can learn a lot from what we have on our site.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there's also Facebook. I know that Barry isn't as technical as she wants to be. She has people, those volunteers helping. But in Facebook, you can also find them. It's under Phoenix Animal Care Coalition, parentheses, PAC911, and parentheses. Barry Mears, thank you for sharing with the Fervently Speaking listeners how your life went to the dogs. And I hope that you reach your current aspiration, which is to go to the movies.
I want to go to the movies, Eileen.
Go to the movies, and give me a call. Maybe I can join you, all right? You have a wonderful day. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Thank you, Barry. That is an example of an amazing woman who decided that she had had enough of the corporate life and that her true calling was in animal welfare. The next gentleman that we're going to speak with actually came out of retirement to start a national franchise that is a pet resort and spa called Villa La Paz. In fact, Tom Murray is a 30-year-plus veteran providing consulting to businesses. He's been a business owner and a senior executive in the computer hardware and software industry. But for the past 7 years, he came out of retirement to start this company that provides daycare, boarding, cage-free daycare, cage-free boarding, cage-free grooming, training. We're going to hear a lot about this gentleman who provides all the strategic direction for Villa La Paz. And I want to introduce Fervently Speaking listeners to the one, the only, Tom Murray. Hey, Big Dog, you there?
I'm there. How are you doing today, Eileen?
I am doing awesome, Tom. How is life treating you? Is your tail wagging today?
Well, it was treating me just fine until you had me follow the Mother Teresa, of animal rescue, you know. I love Barry, you know that.
Pretty,
so.
darn well involved in animal rescue, too, and I know that that's part of the mission of Villa La Paz, but let's ask you a few questions. Tell us all about Villa La Paz. What actually is your company about?
Well, Villa La Paz, you know, we have this pet resort and spa, and we've got two locations. And our mission statement, we started off having a cage-free environment. It was something that was fairly new when we started it 7 years ago. But it truly is, you know, we focus on basically having the animals that come to us, the dogs and the cats that come to us, you know, be no stress. You know, try to be as stress-free as possible, you know, in our environment, which is really, really important, especially for the dogs that are boarding with us at any given time. And so we've concentrated on that. It takes, you know, specific expertise as far as the staff and everything else goes to make sure that's a safe environment. And we've accomplished that. And so we've got two locations currently in Phoenix, two resorts, one in, on I-17 in Bell and one at 32nd Street in Shea. And then we also had dog training as part of our company, and that continued to grow. So in June of this year, we expanded and took 12,000 square feet of indoor-outdoor space just adjacent to the 32nd Street in Shea Resort that we have, and opened up our canine training center in June of this
year.
Yes.
Very popular there because you do everything. You do everything from basic obedience to training for dogs to get their good citizenship. You do agility. You do fly ball and distrength, so sports, and you also do something really cool that's called Hollywood Dogs, which is to get your dog into the print world or the movie world. You think of everything when it comes to people loving their pets and pets having a great life when they're with you, their home away from home. I want you to share with our listeners what caused you to come out. You were a very successful consultant and executive within the computer hardware and software industry. You finally got to retire. You had it all. You had a house up in the country. And one day you just had this wild hair to get back into the pet industry, to get into the pet industry. You weren't even in the pet industry.
No.
What was your motivation for that?
Well, there was a couple of things. First of all, you know, when I did retire and everything else, I had did a terrible job planning my retirement. I had no plans. It was just a matter of going ahead and golfing every day, you know, and it didn't take very long to figure out that I wasn't going to get any better, okay, at what I was trying to accomplish. But at the same time, and of course, I would meet with a lot of my friends and stuff that had already retired, and what probably shocked them more than anything else was these were people that were at the top of their field. They were competitive and everything else, and as I met with them, this is no offense to these guys, they're all having a great time in retirement, but they've lost their edge. And that's something that I've always been extremely acute of as far as myself goes, and I didn't want to lose that edge. So why the pet industry? So in a very short amount of time, within 3 or 4 months of retirement, I knew I had to do something else. And what had happened probably about 2 years prior to this, after my retirement, we had a dog named Rusty. He was a big golden retriever. And we had gotten him for a specific reason, and the reason was is that my son, who was, I think it was about 4 or 5 at the time, when we first got him, was actually bitten by a neighbor dog. And Michael became just terrified, okay, if he saw any dog within 100 feet of him. And so that was my solution, is to go find a puppy that he could go ahead and bond with to find out that, you know, that all dogs are not going to go ahead and bite him. Well, we did. We went and got Rusty. Rusty did his job. He did it perfectly. You know, that it was Michael's dog, and he, the fear of dogs left him, you know, right away, and so Rusty was, we were just really fortunate to have him for the 9 years that he lived. Well, anyway, he ended up contracting cancer, and the veterinary, he went down pretty fast, and the day before Michael's birthday, the dog passed away, and I stayed up at night with him, and I was there when he passed away. And Eileen, I didn't know what to do, I mean, basically the dog was a part of the family, but as far as I was concerned, because I was traveling all the time and I was only home on the weekends, it was just something to step over in the hallway. And then, so as I took a look at what I needed to do, or what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what else to do, you know, so we ended up having the Humane Society come and pick him up, which seemed awful, terrible at the time, and even my son didn't handle that well at all, but I didn't know what else to do, so I started researching and looking into the pet industry and the pet services and stuff, and that's what sort of got me started just down that line. And as I took a look at the, you know, I, of course, being the businessman I am, I looked at the financial statements of PetSmart, Petco, and all the major players, and just amazed at the size of the industry and the growth of the industry. So that, of course, piqued my interest, and I delved in further, did more due diligence to find out what kind of services were being offered and who was being offered it, you know, and was there a room for a player, you know, the pet resort business and stuff that would be have a unique thing of basically, you know, having cage-free. And then secondly, with my technology background, having webcams, and using technology in a lot of things, you know, that we do today. And there was. And I got into this business because I think it was a good, basically, financial decision to do. I had no intent of falling in love with the business, which I rapidly did with my customers. Because I get to see the customer. My customers, when they walk through my front doors and stuff like that, I don't care what they do on the outside. I don't care what their personalities are on the outside, but when they walk through those doors to pick up their pet after daycare or boarding or whatever it may be, I get to see the best side of them every day.
Yep, absolutely. So. And I know that, you know, you say was there room for a player. You're not just a player. You're the MVP because what you decided to do was to help legitimize this dog daycare industry and go the step further. You go beyond what you have to do. You do what you know every pet parent wants for their dogs. And now what you're doing, as I understand it, because you never, you'll never just sit and stay, you are now franchising Villa Paws, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
So talk to us about that.
Well, we actually got, it took us a long time to go ahead and get all of our franchising papers done, all the legal work, and doing all that. In fact, I just had a meeting yesterday with the franchise marketing people. They're extremely excited. Extremely excited about, you know, our program, basically the uniqueness that we have, and for a couple of reasons. The cage-free thing is definitely one major, major strength that we have. But the other thing is Paws University. You know, I came from a background, of course, in technology where the most important thing was to educate your staff. And what I found in the pet services industry, there really was no career plans for anyone, okay, within that wanted to be in that industry. So we installed one here almost 3 years ago. And so as an example today, we've got people that started off as counselors working with the dog groups. They're now groomers. We've got counselors that are now customer service agents. We've got counselors that are now managers. So there's a whole career program. And in franchising, I think that's extremely, extremely important because we don't just sell something that just, you know, you just can't take what we have and start one tomorrow morning. There's a culture there that has to go along with it.
Right.
And that's what I expressed to these people yesterday. I said, I won't sell a franchise unless we can have the same culture that we have in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right, and you know, you could start a business tomorrow, but the problem is that you really wouldn't have the understanding of the market. You wouldn't understand all the different aspects of business ownership, where it's not, you know, my favorite line when I tell the petpreneurs that I speak to is, it's not just about pet and puppies. You need to understand HR. You need to understand finance. You need to understand zoning. And we won't get into your whole zoning thing that I know that you could help people with. So you have to be a jack of all trades, and as a result, the biscuits, balls, and belly rubs for the owner often goes by the wayside. So you could open one tomorrow, but you'd probably close very soon after that. The franchise that you've put together does include education, corporate culture, and services, and that's probably why your business has lasted 7 years, while others actually close after 7 months or 7 weeks. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
So where can we expect to possibly see more Villa La Paz's in the near future?
Well, we've got two strategies, marketing strategies going on. You know, I want the new marketing company is going to go ahead and focus on everything outside of Arizona. And then I'm going to focus, I personally will go ahead and keep Arizona, you know, for our corporate initiative. Because
mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and roll some, probably far west valley, definitely a couple in the east valley. We're looking at Tucson as well. We're looking at Flagstaff.
Ah.
And so some of those will be through acquisitions. Some will be through just startup operations with new franchisers. So we're excited about that, you know, very, very excited about that. So the year 2012, 11 and 12 will be hopefully banner years for us.
No, I'm sure that they will be. Let's just get a couple of other questions, and I would like to know about the person behind the business. Tell us about who are your fur kids these days?
My fur kids these days? Well, I'm very, very fortunate to have two great, great fur kids. You know, Hank is 11 years old. Hank is a Chihuahua Terrier, and he was a rescue from one of our customers. You know, I guess if you want to call him a rescue or not, but she passed away, and I had made a commitment to her that I would take care of Hank. And he filled a void that we didn't know we had, okay, when we first got Hank. And then for my birthday present last year, we were at an adoption event at the Franciscan Renewal, and there's a little dash hound, I guess, mix as well. And they happened to be in the space right next to our tent, and this dog kept looking at me and staring at me. and Teresa, my business partner, kept looking at him and saying, "Here, she's telling you something." I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. Just leave me alone. Well, before I knew it, I'm holding her. And then two or three people came up and were asking about adopting her, and I had to seize the moment. So I said, no, the dog is no longer available. The dog has been adopted.
that's an example of carpe dogum, huh? Seize the dog. So, okay, and what is that doggy's name?
That dog's name is Emmy.
Emmy, okay, so now Emmy is Daddy's little girl, I'm assuming.
She is.
Okay, there you go, that's Peg. So so Tom Murray from Villa La Paz, do you have any regrets about your life going to the dogs for these past 7 years?
The only regret I have is I didn't start it 10 years earlier.
Ha, there you go. How about some advice for anybody who's thinking about not necessarily dog daycare, but going into a for-profit type business that has to do with the pet industry, maybe in 2 minutes or less?
Well, I tell you what, I can just tell people, I think the subject of the program is the baby boomers and stuff. I can say that, you know, this re-energized me so much. You know, at the end of a 25, almost 28-year career in corporate life, and it gave me the opportunity to go ahead and all the things I screwed up for those 28 years, all the experience I got, I could go ahead and redo and fix it, okay, taking on my own organization. And it's just been so much fun. You know, I'm a 63-year-old, but I think I'm 28.
Okay, so you are a boomer chronologically, just not maybe mentally. You still consider yourself a big kid.
Mentally, I'm not. Physically, I may be slowing in a few areas, but definitely not mentally.
Tom, how would people find out more about Villa La Paz, including the franchise opportunities?
Well, all that information is on our website, and that's www.villalapaws.com.
VillaLaPaws.com. You can even get to see a picture of Tom Murray, the rest of his team. Lots of cute dogs. You know, dog daycare is not for everyone, but again, listen to the words of Tom. Keep yourself young and join him as your life could possibly go to the dogs too. Tom, thanks for joining us today on Fervently Speaking.
Well, thank you, Eileen. I appreciate it.
Say hi to Hank and Emmy for us.
I definitely will.
Awesome. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So we've met two very different types of people, boomers, whose lives have gone to the dogs. One decided to go strictly the nonprofit animal welfare route, and then we've got another who has gone into a, I guess you'd call it a brick-and-mortar retail type of an environment, and is opened one, now has multiple, and is actually franchising. So for those of you who want to think big dog, you know, think like a you know, Great Dane, there's something like that. But there's other ways as well. And I want you guys to think about your own lives. Like many of us have come to crossroads in our lives. And somewhere along the way, we lose sight of who we really are and find out that we're kind of not really living the life we want and don't have that natural joy anymore. It just kind of slips away from us. And the woman that I'm going to introduce you to right now was a woman who not only acknowledged that, but did something about it. Her name is Jamie Wagner, and she's joining us today on Fervently Speaking all the way from the west coast of Florida. I think that's where she is because she's out doing book signings for a number of different books that she's written. The really cool thing about Jamie is that recognizing that all of us are going through transitions in our lives and needing a way to change it, she's written a whole bunch of books, and recognizing that children have issues that they need to be able to deal with and get through, she wrote a series of books, 8 of them, in fact, starring 2 of the loves of her life, her Pembroke Welsh Corgis, and she's going to tell you all about it. It's Jamie Wagner of Tucker Tail Productions. Jamie, welcome to Fervently Speaking.
Thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon from Sarasota, Florida.
Sarasota, okay, so I knew that you were somewhere on the East Coast. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. And are your corgis with you right now, even as you speak?
They certainly are. Both of them are looking at me square in the eyes.
So tell me, what are their names? How old are they? Tell us a little bit about them.
Tucker is a Pembroke Welsh Corgi. He's 8 years old, he being a female. And Taylor, she's also a Pembroke Welsh Corgi. She's 7. And I mentioned also to people, I have one furry husband named Bill. And I consider him my pet, too.
Now, is he there also, or is he loyal enough to be sitting through this interview with you, or is it just the dog?
No, he's not fortunate enough to be here this afternoon with me, but I trust we'll be listening to it again in the future.
Oh. Wow. Well, as I try, you do so much. You know, tell us a little bit about your background before you got involved with writing these books. What was your previous career all about?
My previous lifetime, I still am actually a licensed real estate broker in 5 different states. I was involved in helping people realize their home dreams, involved in sales, marketing, management, coaching, consulting, training in the real estate industry for a good period of time, actually 23 years.
Well, okay, so what I have to ask you, the qualifier now, are you qualified to be a guest on this show? Are you, in fact, a boomer?
I'm a boomer.
All right, you're an explosive boomer because you are actually
another year older next week, so I'll be a boomer with an extra year behind me next week.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, now what category is that going to put you into? I'm glad I got you in this week, but what category does that put you into then?
Now, you're not asking my age, are you, Eileen?
Now, how would you even think I would do something like that? Let's move on. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about Tucker Tales, the series. You have written 8 books, and explain fully what it is you're hoping Tucker Tales is actually going to do for children and their parents, by the way.
Well, my husband and I grew up in Midwest, middle-class families during the 50s and 60s, and we couldn't help notice how today's stressful society is challenging to impart basic family values and moral values to the children. And I know all the parents had good intentions of love and responsibility, but the reality of today's living with technology and the diminishing concept of family values, we're wanting to have a participate in preserving them. And
right.
So our
gotcha.
Children today, we feel that are our greatest creation and our greatest hope, and we want to become part of that in such positive ways. And so we're utilizing the books as a tool.
So tell me, obviously your dogs are your muses. Tell us about the motivation and inspiration. What was it about the dogs that made you make that connection?
Interesting. Good question for me, because as I was a child, as far back as I can remember, Eileen, I played with stuffed animals, very rarely dolls. They were always dogs. Always wanted more stuffed animals, dogs, putting out all over my bed. And I loved when my parents read bedtime stories to me. And I was a big dreamer, and I always liked creating things. And so when I went through my own personal transition and was trying to determine what the heck am I going to do when I grow up, which was just a couple years ago, by the way, I had to go all the way back to childhood for some answers. What did I enjoy? Asking the right questions. And, you know, I'm not a real patient person. Questions weren't occurring as quickly as I would have liked them to, you know, be revealed to me. But eventually, when I just let go, answers were coming, and big dreams were on the way, and now I'm in the process of building those dreams.
Yeah, and it's interesting about dogs. I mean, you what you mentioned about your childhood, that was what I told our listeners at the beginning, that I didn't care about Barbies. It was all about the Bow Wows and stuffed animals,
and I
gave them names, and I didn't like the goofy ones, you know, that had cigarettes hanging out of their mouths. I wanted the lifelike-looking ones that really could be mine. And someday on the show, I'm sure I'll share my my stories about how I hoodwinked my family into letting me get dogs at various points. I was quite a little scammer to get those. But what I'll tell you is that, at least from my perspective, and tell me if you agree with this or not, you know, we as humans have all this fear and worry and doubt and all that sort of stuff that you know, we listen to those gremlins in our heads. But dogs always seem happy, even when they shouldn't be, even if they don't know if you're going to feed them enough food or if they're going to get that extra dog biscuit. They always have a joy, a state of happiness to them. And did that impact your writing of these books in any way?
Oh, absolutely. From back then to today, if I start feeling bad for any reason, we're all human. You know, we want to walk our talk, but there's days that don't go necessarily the way we want. All I need to do is start noticing how happy, content, well-adjusted my little guys are. And, geez, they handle all of our adversities in such a calm and matter-of-fact way compared to us human counterparts.
Yep. It's amazing they tolerate us, don't you think?
Yeah. And, you know, when we raise our voice or when we are emitting energy that's not the most positive, it's so interesting, especially Taylor. She looks at me and says, you know what, I don't want to be in the same room with you right now, and off she goes. And as soon as I twist my feelings to a more positive vibration, she's back. And so
great.
She's really, really sensitive.
Yeah, and I do think it's amazing how in tune they are with us. So you have 8 books in the Tucker Tales series. Tell us about the first book, the book that starts it all off. What's the premise of the book?
Tucker Goes Home, A Tale of Life, Love, and Hope is the name of the first book in the series of the stories. And basically the first one is setting the stage for a lifetime of adventures for Tucker, who is an adopted, curious, mischievous, and, of course, lovable Pembroke Welsh Corgi. And in this tale, it's just setting the stage for the rest of them. And he's longing for love, the sense of belonging, the security of a new home and family. And so you can see his determination as he copes with his adversity and realizes his hopes and dreams to find that home.
Wow, that sounds like it could be a very good story for an adopted child as well. True?
Absolutely.
Hmm. That sounds like it's going to wind up being a bestseller in certain type of niche markets. So, okay, so that's wonderful. Now, did you write the book, and has it got photographs or illustrations? What's the format of this book?
My husband and I wrote the book. I came up with the outline. My husband's a great writer, so we wrote the book together based on some ideas and a true life story based on Tucker. And so we're utilizing Tucker and his animal friends to teach both principles through examples in the books.
Gotcha. Now, were you a writer before?
No,
oh, I'm sorry. I didn't,
that
I'm
was
sorry.
The last thing I ever thought I would ever be in my entire life was a writer. And because I, just when we think we have our own life all figured out, nothing seems to stay the same, and I was thrust into a health issue, which caused me to tailspin into a major transition. I had to kind of reevaluate where I was going, and so I was able to stop, look, and listen, and take the time to determine what excited me, what did I enjoy as a child. So I really went back in time to determine what my gifts, talents were when I was a little one. And
right.
The answers start unfolding for me.
Yeah, that's incredible. So real estate agent, right? Gone into like a life coach, gone to children's helper through love of dog. I mean, is that kind of like the trail that you followed at this point?
That is the trail.
Wow, that's a fun trail.
Although I was helping people realize their home dreams, which excited me, now I feel I'm helping people realize their life's dreams, including helping parents connect and bond with children by promoting early reading and taking time out of their busy day to read to a child. And, of course,
gotcha.
The books have a message all of their own.
Right. And it's really cool that your dogs, I mean, your life did go to the dogs because – really, they are the platform, they are the jump starter for what is going to be an incredibly impactful book series that is going to change the lives of people of all ages as a result. So that's really awesome. Congratulations on that, for listening to yourself and loving your dog so much that you could join the two. I have a question. It's called Tucker Tales, but does Taylor mind that Taylor's name's not in the title of the
She'll be coming in. Actually, she comes in as a sister, and of course, when sisters are introduced into a picture, there's jealousy that occurs from time to time. We have a great story about how Taylor enters into the book, and then she'll be in and out of various stories.
What book number does she make her first appearance, Jamie?
Well, actually, it was written as book 8, but we're not sure whether we're going to wait until book 8 until we utilize Taylor, so she wants to come in earlier. So we'll see.
I can certainly understand that. We have to try to get her in quickly as possible because I've known these dogs, I've met these dogs, and she deserves to let the females out there know that there's girl power involved as well. So let's get the girl power going. Has all of this fame and having books and a company named after him, has it gone to Tucker's head?
Oh, my goodness. If he takes after me, definitely not. he doesn't have that ego like us humans have a tendency. I'm not sure if either one of them even know what that word means. So thank goodness that's why they're such a unconditional love in our lives.
Yep, absolutely. Are the books, one of the books being released, are they available yet?
Actually, the illustrator, we located an illustrator. That was an interesting challenge, but it came to be in its own time. Can't push it. It just came about in unexpected ways. the first one we were hoping to have ready for Christmas, and it's going to be pretty tight at this point. So we're looking at introducing them, and we have some book signings already scheduled here in Florida for early next year.
Oh, awesome. Maybe I could get down there and be one of the first to get a autographed copy of a book one of Tucker Tales.
Consider it done.
Awesome. That is wonderful. I know that there's some advanced information that people can get about the series. You have a really nice website. Why don't you share that information with our listeners?
The website, you can contact me and review the children's books at www.tuckertaleproductions.com.
And how do you spell tale? Because I know it could be a couple of different ways.
Well, it's T-A-L-E, but if you spell it like T-A-I-L, you're going to still find me anyway.
Wow, you cover everything. And it's really interesting because corgis don't really have long tails, do they?
They don't.
So it's amazing. He's got a book and he's got a tail all in one, and lucky dog. Hey, Jamie, you are also, I know this, and just on the side, I know you're a certified coaching consultant. You have another book as well that really doesn't have to do with dogs, but I've read this book, and if you could just give a quick shout out, because it'll help people possibly make some good decisions about things to do in their lives. So what's the name of your other book?
The other book is called Lemonade, Pickles, and Worms, The Many Faces of Transition, and it assists people that are facing life-changing transitions, and we're right now doing a three-city tour with Barnes & Noble.
Oh, wonderful. That's good. So what cities are you going to, just in case the listeners are popping up, they can look for them?
We'll be up in Tampa, Naples, and also Sarasota this Saturday.
Very nice. Good deal. Good deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited for what you've done. Again, the series is Tucker Tale Productions, and Jamie Wagner is somebody who has channeled her passions for her pets and pets in general into a book series that is going to help children and parents bond, have a better sense of self, and move through all of life's possibilities. Congratulations on doing that and having your life go to the dogs. What's your last piece of advice that you'd like to give people out there if they're considering having their lives go to the dogs?
Well, take time to listen to what excites you. Consider what you enjoyed as a child and what your gifts and talents are, and ask yourself, how can you apply them today? Think about what you want. Biggest thing is why you want it, and forget about the how, because once you get so passionate and excited about what and why, the how will automatically start revealing itself.
Yeah, that's great, great advice. All of us could listen to that. And I'm thinking that with the information we shared today with these really incredible boomers, we know that it's never too late to go after our dreams. And as long as we have some fur friends by our side, the probability is that we will be having a wonderful life regardless of what we're doing. So, Jamie Wagner, thank you so much. Say everybody on the East Coast, give them a big hello from Fervently Speaking.
Thank you, Eileen. It's been a pleasure today.
And of course, big kisses to the two little furry guys, and you can shake Bill's hands for me, okay?
All right. Oh, Tucker and Taylor said hello too.
Hello, woof woof to you from Aunt Eileen. You take care now.
Okay. All right. Bye bye.
So there you have it: three intrepid pet lovers who have found very, very different ways of being able to translate their love and their talents, and channel it into a life that has gone to the dogs. I think that this should become a regular segment on Fervently Speaking in the future. Maybe we could add one to every show. If you've got any questions for any of our guests today, please check out their website. It's PACC911.org. That's PACC911.org. And VillaLaPaz.com. And also TuckerTaleProductions.com. And I'm sure that any of the guests that we had here today would be glad to answer your questions if you have them. If you've got any show ideas or segment ideas, for Fervently Speaking. Please don't hesitate to contact me, the Top Dog, directly. You can do that at topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com, fur with an F-U-R, ferventlyspeaking.com. And we are here on Blog Talk Radio, the Boomer and the Babe channel, every second and fourth Wednesday, hump day of the month. We're going to be back again in a couple of weeks to be able to give you more fun and fur-filled information to help you have the best possible quality of life with your pets. Until then, this is the Top Dog, Eileen Proctor, signing off and reminding you adoption is the best option. You have a great couple of weeks.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with Top Dog Eileen Proctor. For additional information on this or any other pet-related topic, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Productions. www.boomerandthebabe.com.